Yeah, fill in the middle here.
Like a Jonah in the middle of the army. Mm-hmm. Like a Jonah in the middle of the army. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we were discussing yesterday that a self-realized person has no need to perform prescribed duties, and still he does them. Why?
Set the example.
Janaka Maharaj and other kings did that. Krishna himself does that. Because whatever the leader does, others will follow. If Krishna didn't follow the system of prescribed duties, what would happen?
The whole society would be put into a ring.
Yeah. What else would happen?
Unwanted population.
Unwanted population.
Big problem.
Big problem. Now, we also discussed at length who the bewildered spirit soul thinks is the doer of all activities. Namely, himself. Ahamkar vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. He thinks I'm doing everything. In the 18th chapter, there'll be further discussion on the different elements that contribute to the performance of an action. The person himself is only one of them. And the most important is the personality of Godhead. Okay. Now, I skipped them. Tattvavittu mahabaho guna karma vibhagayo guna guneshu vartanta iti matva masajjate. So the bewildered person thinks I'm doing everything, but the Krishna conscious person sees the difference between work and devotion and work under material influence. So guna guneshu vartanta. He doesn't engage himself in works of sense gratification. Prakritair guna sammudha. Sajjante guna karmasu. Tana Krishna vido mandan. Krishna vinna vichavaye. The ignorant sammudha, completely bewildered, engage themselves in materialistic activities and become attached. But the wise should not unsettle them. And Prabhupada Navichali, it shouldn't agitate them. But Prabhupada says that the Krishna conscious persons are more kind than the Lord, because they'll take the risk even to approach ignorant men and try to engage them in Krishna consciousness. Okay, clear? Then the conclusion here is Mayi Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Yatra Ketasa Nirmamo Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva Yudyashva Vigata Dvara. Therefore, Sarvani Karmani Sanyasya Yatma Ketasa, surrendering all your works unto me, Mayi Adhyatma Chetasa, with full knowledge of me. Chetnira, again, this Adhyatma Chetasa can be translated in two ways, full knowledge of the self or full knowledge of the Supreme Self. Full knowledge of the self really implies knowledge of the Supreme Self, because full knowledge of the self means I'm spirit, soul, and I'm part and parcel of Krishna. So people get into this, you know, self with a capital S, self with a lowercase self, but Atma can be ambiguous. But wherever it means Atma, knowledge of the self, it also implies knowledge of the Supreme Self. Chetasa, nirashi, nothing is mine. Nirmama, nothing is mine. No aspiration, nirashi, for profit. Nirashir nirmamo bhutva. Yudyashva, fight. Vigata jvara. Without lethargy. Jvara also means fever. But the result of fever, you know, you get a fever and you're in bed for 3 days. So feverish mentality can be also results in lethargy. Yes. So Prabhupada translates it as lethargy. So this is pure bhakti yoga. No question of just working according to manashram and giving up the results of activities. But specifically here, mayi, it should all be dedicated to Krishna. Now there's a nice set of verses, these two verses. Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manava sadhavanto nasuyanto muchyante tepi karmati. Those who regularly, nityam, follow these instructions, matam idam, this, yes, me matam, my direction. Anutishtanti, follow. Anu means following. And anu also means regularly. So who situate themselves in regularly following these instructions. Manava, human beings. Shradhavanto, faithfully. Anasuyanto, without envy. Muchyante te pikarma. They get free from the entanglement of karma. Ye tu, on the other hand, tu means but, ye tvetad avyasuryanto nanutishtanti mevatam sarvagana vimudhamstam vidhinashtana chetasam. Those who don't follow this regularly, who are envious, don't follow the instructions. Sarva Gyana Vimudhantam. They're considered bereft of all knowledge, Vimudha. Sarva Gyana Vimudhantam. All their knowledge is bewildered. And Achetasaha. They're not Krishna conscious. So they're Achetasaha. Prabhupada gives it ruined in their attempts for perfection. There's something in the, what's the first edition? The end of it? English? Doomed to ignorance and bondage. That's not what Prabhupada said. Although it's true, but Prabhupada specifically said, ruined in their endeavors for perfection. And therefore, and he echoes it in the purport. Very nicely, actually, a disobedient person, however great, is ignorant of his own self and of the Supreme Brahman Paramatman Bhagavan. Sarva Gyana Vimudhantam. Fully ignorant, due to a vacant heart. That's a neat translation of a chetasa. Vacant heart. Chetasa means no consciousness. So vacant heart. And therefore there's no hope of perfection of life. Sadrisham cheshtate svasya prakriter gyanavanapi prakritim yanti bhutani nigraha kim karishyati. Well, here's a one of the banner verses that some people like to quote. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature. For everyone follows the nature he's acquired from the three modes. What can repression accomplish? This is some people's favorite verse. Nigraha kim karishyati. What can repression accomplish? What can repression accomplish? First of all, let's make a point here that nigraha, or subduing, has nothing to do with Sigmund Freud here. Krishna is not referring to the teachings of Sigmund Freud, under which repression has a very particular meaning. You know, in Freudian psychology, repression, you know, has a very particular meaning, you know, like, as far as I know, it's like not acknowledging the forces within yourself, or thoughts and memories, and, you know, somehow or other keeping them down. That's not what's referred to here. Freud isn't in the picture. But the prakritim yanti sadrisham cheshtate svasya prakriter gyanavanapi. Every learned person acts according to the nature that he's acquired. So the point is that you can't avoid the natural qualities that one picks up materially. Or as Prabhupada puts it, even for the most highly educated person on the mundane plane, it's impossible to get out of the entanglement of Maya simply by theoretical knowledge. There are many so-called spiritualists, outwardly posed as advanced in the science, but inwardly or privately, completely under particular modes of nature which they are unable to surpass. Academically, one may be very learned, but because of long association with material nature, he's in bondage. Krishna consciousness helps one get out of the material entanglement, even though one may be engaged in his prescribed duties in terms of material existence. Therefore, without being fully in Krishna consciousness, one should not give up his occupational duties. It is better to be situated in one's position and try to attain Krishna consciousness under superior training. The meaning is not here that if you feel some urge to perform a sinful activity, you should follow it, because what will repression accomplish? That is not at all what Krishna is saying here, and that will become clear, abundantly clear, by the end of the chapter. It's not that Krishna is saying, well, you know, everyone has these feelings within himself, everyone has these urges, everyone has these tendencies, and, you know, what is the use of trying to curb these feelings and urges and propensities? Better just, you know, do it. Whatever you feel within yourself, if you try to repress them, they'll just come back and bite you. So just do it and get it out of your system. That's not what we're looking at here. That's not.
More in relation to Varna?
Yeah, it's absolutely in relation to that. That, you know, otherwise Krishna would say, well, you know, you feel like leaving the battlefield, I guess, you know, if that's what's in your heart, you got to do it, you know? Okay, it may be a little sinful, but hey, if that's what's in your heart, you might as well go for it. No. The whole emphasis here is that you have particular duties prescribed for you according to the nature that you've picked up, whether as a Vaishya or as a Brahmin or a Kshatriya or a Shudra, whatever it is. So better to perform your prescribed duties than to try to artificially say, well, no, I'm transcendental, I'm not a Kshatriya, I'm not this, I'm not that, I'll just, you know, take off to the forest. That's not going to work. Clear?
Yes, this isn't propagating illicit sex.
It's not, by no means, is Krishna saying, listen, what can repression accomplish? So, you know, let's face it, you've got a lot of built-up sexual energy there, and so you might as well, you know, find yourself somebody, anybody, and kind of get it on. No. That is not at all what's being said here. And in fact, we find that in the next verse. Indriyas yarte, raga dvesho, vyavastito, tyor na vasham. There's that word again, control. Yes, I was right. Vasham does mean control. So avasham, where we saw helplessly, it means you have no control. So, tayor na basham agach chet, to yasya paripantano. There are regulative principles to regulate attachment and aversion pertaining to the senses and their objects. One should not come under the control of them, even, because they're stumbling paths on the path of sense gratification, of self-realization. And Prabhupada explains that in the purport. There are principles to regulate what we do with our senses, what we don't do with our senses. And therefore, our propensities for sense gratification have to be controlled. Yet one should not rely upon the control of the necessities of the material body are allowed under rules and regulations, yet we should not rely upon the control of such allowances. In other words, not just because you have some concession for sense gratification. Okay, we got a concession. Let's go. Not like that. You know, people, like Prabhupada said, that married life is a license for sense gratification. But a license does, you know, licenses have their limits. You know, like a driver's license doesn't mean, well, now I can, you know, head down the freeway at 90 miles an hour when the speed limit is 60. It doesn't mean that you can just do anything. You know, you can mow down pedestrians with your car now because you got a license. It's not that you've just become James Bond because you got a driver's license. It's not a license to kill.
So there is no sin in doing activities. Is there any sin in doing something for sense gratification?
If it's outside of prescribed duties, yes. Sense gratification is allowed under regulative principles. Just like we say, like eating. Eating is sense gratification, but it's allowed. Take prasadam. Take, do your full set. But now if you say, well, eating prasadam is allowed, why not, a little bhoga also? By eating bhoga, what is that? Now you become entangled. Well, but I was eating prasadam and I wasn't getting entangled. And it's the same, it's just pakoras. Why am I getting entangled for eating pakoras when I just had pakoras half an hour ago? But those pakoras were offered to Krishna. These pakoras you cooked just to satisfy your tongue, and you didn't offer them to Krishna, then now you become entangled. Agham papam. It becomes sinful. Similarly, sex life. Sex life is allowed. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi bhajam. Dharma viruddha bhuteshu kamosmi. Krishna said that sex which is not contrary to regulative principles represents me. Well, regulative principles, no regulative principles, doesn't matter all that much. No. The same sex that was legal according to regulative principles becomes illegal outside the regulative principles.
How about the statement that the devotees made that having sex with one's own wife, not for the sake of procreation, but, once a month, regulated, is still not a sinful activity?
Where'd they get that from?
I don't know either.
We don't find that.
Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that even eating prasadam, if you overeat prasadam, it's considered a sin.
Yeah. What are the seven deadly sins? One of them is gluttony. So if we're just eating and eating and eating and eating, of course, we have little concession. Prabhupada, said someplace that, give them nice prasadam. He said, they have no other sense gratification. They've given up all other sense gratification. Let them take prasadam. So we give a little concession. Especially Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to fill everyone up to the neck. But if we're trying to make progress on the transcendental path, and we don't control the urge to eat and eat and eat, we'll have problems. So especially in the beginning, we encourage people, just take prasadam. Eat and overeat. You're inclined to overeat materially. Now overeat prasadam. It's all right. Then gradually as a person becomes serious, better to eat at regulated times, better to eat in moderate amounts, better to eat, simple food and not, pakoras, chutney, rasgullas and gulab jamuns three times a day. Among other things, you'll get sick. And among other things, it will be harder to control the senses. If we eat passionately, the senses become more disturbed. If we eat in the mode of goodness, the senses also start to cool down. We'll find that in the 17th chapter? 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yes. That will come. Yeah. Food in different modes of nature, different activities in different modes of nature. Does that answer your question? Yes?
One should not come under the control of such attachment and
Yeah, the attachment and aversion. Of course, attachment to sense gratification and aversion to Krishna consciousness. That's most people's big problem. They're attached to Maya and averse to Krishna. That we shouldn't fall under the sway of. Also, the whimsical aversion. You know, aversion to, you know, I don't want to preach there because the weather is really cold. Or I don't want to do this service because, you know, it doesn't suit me. Or, you know, aversion to the service of Krishna, or aversion to following the orders of the spiritual master. Or, you know, I understand these four regulative principles, but, you know, three and a half kind of, I'm more peaceful when I follow three and a half. You know, so they're aversion to following the regulative principles. Okay. Or attachment to breaking the regulative principles, or attachment to, you know, my material comforts, or attachment to things that are not my duty, and aversion to things that are my duties. Arjun he's averse to fighting on the battlefield. And he's attached to his family members. Okay? Then, very important discussion, this comes up many times in Bhagavad Gita. I understand that it came up in the Nectar of Devotion class. Shreyan svadharmo viguna paradharmat svanushtita svadharme nidhanam shreya paradharmo vayava. Better to do one's own prescribed duties, even imperfectly, than someone else's duties perfectly. Svadharma. Svadharma means your own duties. Svadharme nidhanam shreya. What does shreya mean?
Long-term benefit.
You'll get long-term benefit by following your prescribed duties, and paradharmo payava. Risky to follow someone else's duties. Clear? There's another one of those interesting passages here. Can I borrow your position again? It's again the section that's some devotees like to rely on, but it's they're relying on something misedited, actually. Follow along from the beginning of the purport, listening carefully for missing pieces. One should therefore discharge his prescribed duties in full Krishna consciousness, rather than those prescribed for others. Prescribed duties complement one's psychophysical condition under the spell of the modes of material nature. Spiritual duties are as ordered by the spiritual master for the transcendental service of Krishna. Is that right? Does it read the same way?
No.
Yes. Materially, prescribed duties are enjoined. It's not that your prescribed duties necessarily follow your psychophysical condition. Prabhupada's making a contrast here. Materially, it's according to our psychophysical nature, and spiritually, it's according to what the spiritual master tells us to do. But both materially or spiritually, one should stick to his prescribed duties. Okay. Duties on the spiritual platform, now it's the same. And duties on the material platform may be different, but the principle of following authorized direction is always good. Okay, thank you very much. People get stuck on this thing. Yeah, but, you know, Prabhupada said the prescribed duty should follow your psychophysical condition. Not exactly what he said. The Materially, they do, and spiritually, they may not.
What happened in the old edition?
Oh, something. Yeah, somebody left out something and misunderstood something.
Is Prabhupada's dictation on the tape?
No, this is typed. First six chapters are Prabhupada typed. Someone misunderstood something, or sometimes because things were typed two or three times, something would be left out. Okay. Now we come to, so we know that we should perform our prescribed duties. But, Arjuna Vacha, Atakena Prayukto Yam Papam Charati Purusha, Anichchan Api Varshneya Baladiva Niyojita. To abandon one's prescribed duties is sinful. If you don't do what you're supposed to do, then you're acting illegally. That's one definition of sin. And Arjuna says, what is it that makes one act sinfully? Prayukta, what is it that impels one? What is it that's driving one to do something sinful? Anichchan. Ichcha means?
Desire.
And anichcha means even without desire or against his desire. Anichchan. Baladiva. Niyojita. Balad means? Bala means?
Strength.
Or?
Force.
Bala means strength or force. So balad means by force. Eva means as if. He knows this is my duty, this is not my duty, but then he does the thing that's not his duty, or he doesn't do the thing that is his duty. Even, you know, he knows better and he doesn't want to do it, but he does it anyway. Balad, as if by force. He knows he's not supposed to steal this, he knows he's not supposed to go there, he knows he's not supposed to do this, and still he does it. Balad Iva, as if by force.
What am I doing? I'm not supposed to do that.
I'm not supposed to do this, but, you know, like, anyway. Yeah, as if he's, you know, like being carried along by a wave. You know, people, they know better, they've been told, it's clear to them. They can envision what the consequences will be for doing it. But they just say, you know, hang it all, I'm going to do it.
Yeah, this completely contradicts what the interpretation of, you know, what can repression accomplish?
Oh yeah, we're going to, by the end of this chapter, what can repression accomplish, as understood by the touchy-feely crowd, is really going to be lying on the ground dead. As you will see by the end of the chapter. Okay, so that's Arjuna's question. That someone seems, you know, just to, as against his will practically, you know, I don't know why I'm doing this, but, you know, I just got to do it. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Personality of Godhead, said, Kamesha Krodhesha Rajaguna Samudhavaha Mahashano Mahapapma Vidhyenam Iha Vairina. Famous instruction. Kamaesha. It's lust, which is Rajaguna Samudbhava, which is born of the mode of passion and turns into anger, Krodha, Mahashana, which is all devouring, and Mahapapma, greatly sinful, and Iha in this material world, Vairinam. This is the enemy. This is the enemy that we have to deal with. when a living entity comes in contact with the material creation, his eternal love for Krishna is transformed into lust in association with the mode of passion. And when lust is unsatisfied, it turns into wrath, anger, then illusion, and the illusion continues material existence. We read that before. We saw that progression where?
Second chapter.
Now it comes. Dumen avriyate vanir yata darsho malena cha yitoben avrito garbhas tata tenedam avritam. Like a disease, there are different degrees of it. And Krishna's diagnosing that it may be like fire covered by smoke, or like a mirror covered by dust, or like the embryo covered by the womb. It's degrees. When it's the embryo covered by the womb, that's covered.
Yeah.
Fire covered by smoke, you know, you can make it out. Mirror covered by dust, still you can at least see that the mirror is there. The embryo covered by the womb, that's really covered. Avritam, and it's covered in different species of life and in different stages of consciousness. Avritam gyanam etena gyanino nityavayina kamarupena kontya dushpurena analena cha. The significant word here is gyanina. Gyanina means the living entity. Gyanina means one who has knowledge. The living entity constant translate the wise living entity. The living entity is by nature full of knowledge. By nature, it is full of knowledge. But avritam. Avritam means he becomes covered. Jnanam. What becomes covered? Avritam jnanam. His knowledge becomes covered. He's jnanina. He's constitutionally knowledgeable, but his knowledge becomes covered. Etena, by this, lust. Kamarupena, nityavairina, by his eternal enemy. Kamarupena, in the form of lust. Dushpurena, dushpura means very hard to satisfy, never satisfied. And analena means burning. What is that? Analena, by fire. And Manu says that no matter how much sense gratification you pile on, you're not going to extinguish the fire. Rather, you're going to feed the fire. Prabhupada one time compared it to trying to put out a fire by pouring petrol on it. Mm-hmm. You know, on the theory that if you pour it, you know, if you just douse it heavily enough, you know, you'll extinguish the fire. That doesn't work.
Wow.
And Prabhupada makes very clear here that lust, especially, of course, lust means any material desire, kama, siddhi kama, moksha kama, but especially sex attachment, kama. Maitunya Agara, the shackles of sex life, that's the material world.
Can I just read something in the Srivandarantami, one sentence? Srila Baladevidya Bhushana comments that danda, punishment, is the only way to deal with lust.
Yeah. There's different ways to deal with enemies. What is that? Sama.
Kill him, bribe him.
Yeah, you...
Words?
Offer him a position.
You offer him something. You first, yeah. There's sweet words. Try to pacify him. You offer him something. There's division. You divide up the enemy's forces. Diplomacy. And that way, there are five different ways of dealing with an enemy. Are they mentioned?
Words, gifts, a position, or finally punishment.
Yeah, words, gifts, position. You know, offer him a post. You know, these are the way you deal with an enemy. Why should you be an enemy? We're friends. After all, we're good buddies. That's the first thing. Next thing is, here, you know, we're really buddies. Could you use $1,000 right now? I bet you could. Here, just take it. So that's another way to do it. Bribe, basically. Gifts, sweet words, bribes.
And position.
Position. You know, I need a new minister of finance. I think that you'd really be good for the job. So the guy who's your enemy is now your minister of finance. So what do they say? Keep your friends close and your enemies closer? So he's turned his enemy into a friend by giving him a post. But that doesn't work for lust. For lust, they're simply... As Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, beat it with a shoe 100 times, and at night with a broomstick 100 times. That's the thing to do with the mind. And what are you beating it for? To get rid of this lust. Which Prabhupada says very nicely, it may be, while one enjoys sense gratification, it may be that there's some feeling of happiness. But actually, that so-called feeling of happiness is the ultimate enemy of the sense enjoyer. This is the way it works. The example is Vishakanya, the poison girl. Prabhupada gives the example that in politics, the old days they
Typhoid Mary.
Yeah, well, she wasn't deliberate. She was just a case. But they used to actually do this. They'd take a girl and feed her a little poison, so that when she was mature and, you know, gorgeous, she'd get involved with some enemy, and she'd be literally the kiss of death. So it seems, and there's so many other examples, the elephant who goes after the she-elephant but winds up getting caught in the pit. Or so many examples how we think that we're enjoying, but the enjoyment becomes the cause of suffering. That will also be explained in the 18th chapter, Happiness and the Mode of Passion. Seems like nectar in the beginning, and at the end, poison. So this lust appears to be the source of enjoyment, but it's the enemy of the conditioned soul. Nitya Vairagya, eternal enemy. Love turned into lust. I know it's time to take a break, right? Where are we? We're 12:19. Why don't we finish the chapter and then we'll take our break? Then it'll be too late to take the break, won't it? Only a few more verses. Okay. Indriyani mano buddhir asyadhishtanam uchyate etaravi mohayatyesha jnanam avrityadehinam. This is very instructive. Where the enemy is situated. Asyadhishtanam. What are the sitting places? Adhishtanam, of asya, of this lust. Indriyani, mana, and buddhi. He's really got all the strategic locations. We're working with our senses. Lust is there. Well, higher than the senses is the mind. Lust is there. Higher than the mind is the intelligence. Lust is there also. Etai, and through these, through our senses, through our mind, even through our intelligence, vimoha, vimohayati. Lust is bewildering us. V means? Particularly. Vimohayati. It really does us in. Jnanam avritya, covering our knowledge. Yes.
I wonder, in 6th chapter 8 it said that the mind can be our bank or our enemy. And here it is said that lust actually is the position of the lust is one of the places in the mind. So, is it really the mind our enemy, or it becomes our enemy because of this influence of the mind?
Yeah, because otherwise the mind is not bad, the senses are not bad, intelligence is not bad. But when they're polluted by lust, the senses are, you know, immediately attracted to something. You know, I mean, senses, they should be friendly. Oh, there's a nice, you know, there's beautiful deities, there's a nice temple, there's, you know, something. But what are they more interested in? Like that king, the Akbar. He asked his minister, what, Birbal? He asked Birbal that, you know, how long does lust last? And Birbal said, up to the time of death. So Akbar was doubting. So then sometime later, Birbal called the king, you come with me and bring your daughter. So king came and they wound up in the approaching a house where an old man was dying. So before they entered, Birbal told the king, watch his eyes. So they entered the room, Birbal and the king and his daughter, and immediately the man's eyes went to the daughter. You know, the king had come to see him, but the old guy's eyes, you know, soon he saw the girl. Ooh. And, you know, what are you going to enjoy on your deathbed? Still, the eyes are attracted. So the senses become our enemies. Why? Because they're, you know, encrusted with this tendency toward lust. So we want to hear something about, you know, sex. We want to see something about sex. Yes. What's happening with lust when you're in the mode of goodness? Cool down. Because lust is especially prominent in the mode of passion. And in the mode of ignorance where, you know, it's turned into anger. In the mode of goodness, the lusty desires are less. Therefore, knowledge is more prominent in the mode of goodness.
How can we recognize the lust in the mode of goodness?
How can we recognize
the lust
in the mode of goodness? Also, you know, he wants to eat more. Still, there's some, you know, sex desire. Some, it's not like goodness is good, but it's not liberation. Still, there's material desire for something more than I need. Lust. So we don't want to get rid of the senses, we don't want to ditch our minds, we don't want to kill our intelligence, but, you know, it's like in Mayapur, if, you know, the enemy, if, you know, there were like gundas or something, and some of them were encamped in the temple, some of them were encamped in the prasadam pavilion, some of them were encamped in the brahmacharya ashram, you know, so it doesn't mean, well, burn the temple, demolish the brahmacharya ashram, blow up the kitchen, but we want to drive out the bad guys. Then the kitchen is good. The Brahmacharya Ashram is fine. The temple is very good. But as long as they're occupied by enemies, they're dangerous places. So this is the danger. And especially, you know, if they're dressed up like friends. You know, they look like they're the pujari and the temple commander and something else, but really they're like gundas. And that happens. You know, yeah, this will be, make you happy. This will be good for you. This will help you in Krishna consciousness.
What is gunda?
Gunda? A dacoit, a thug, a bandit.
Mafioso.
It's an Indian term for that.
Yes, it's an Indian. Gundas are, they're Indian mafia.
Vrindavan mafia.
Well, not just Vrindavan, there are gundas all over the country. A gunda is like a simple thug, usually. The mafia, they hire the gundas. Yeah, it's a paid, you know, a paid gun, a paid thug. That's a gunda. In a few rupees, you can hire one of these guys to do damage to someone. So this is the situation, you know, we've got these invaders occupying our most important territory. Tasmat, therefore, tvam indriyani ado niyamya. Ado means from the very beginning. Niyamya means control. Niyam means control, regulate. Papmanam prajahi hyenam jnana vijnana nashanam. This lust needs to be curbed, prajahi, by regulation, because it's jnana vijnana nashanam. Nashanam means destroyer of gyan and vigyan, knowledge and self-realization. You may be very learned, you may be very advanced in spiritual knowledge, but lust can kill everything. Indriyani paran yahur indriyedya param manaha manasastu bhada bhuthir yo bhute paratastasa. This is really worth spending some time on. But we said we were going to take a break. Hold on. No break? No, people want a break. We're not doing too badly. We'll push on a little bit. Indriyani, this is another hierarchy. Indriyani paranyahur, superior to just dull matter, are the senses. Higher than the senses?
Mind.
Higher than the mind? Higher than the intelligence?
Soul.
The senses are to be controlled by the mind, which accepts something or rejects something. And the intelligence discriminates. What should I accept? What should I reject? And the soul should direct the intelligence. But what happens is, the senses become, what was that? We were reading. Indriyanam hi charitam. The senses are
roaming
around. And tadasya harati pragyam vairanavam ibhambasi. They become swept away. Wow. Look at that. You know, they just get swept away. Yayatol, if you start thinking of something, and then the next thing you know, you're in bed with something. So indriyani, the indriyas, the senses, pull on the mind. Hey mind, we have news for you. You're going to love this. Okay, let's go. So the senses are pulling on the mind. Think of this, just, check it out. Then the mind starts pulling on the intelligence. give me 10 reasons why I should go for this. You're in charge of, you know, rationality. Mm-hmm. Give me 10 good reasons why I should do this stupid thing. Mm-hmm. The intelligence becomes engaged in the service of the uncontrolled mind and senses. And then they're dragging down the soul. Therefore, evam buddhe param buddhva samstabhyatmanam atmana jahi shatrum mahabaho kama rupam durasadam. Therefore, buddhe param, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the mind, the senses, and the intelligence, samstabhyatmanam, by steadying the mind, atmana, by deliberate spiritual intelligence, which Prabhupada says means Krishna consciousness, jayi shatru, conquer that enemy. Shatru means enemy. Jahi shatru mahabaho, kamarupam durasanam, this formidable enemy known as lust. Beat him. Defeat him. Huh? From the very beginning, don't let lust, you know, don't let those guys get in here. From the very beginning, regulate the senses, the mind, the intelligence. Control them by regulation and defeat. Conquer lust. Just the opposite of nigraham kim karishati as interpreted by the touchy-feely crowd. Well, you know, if you have some desire, better that you go with it because otherwise it'll come. No, Krishna says, jahi shatru. This is the enemy. Kill it. Or transform your material desire into spiritual desire to search it. Okay? Just the opposite. Just the opposite of this idea that, well, if you feel something in your heart, just be honest with yourself and admit that it's there, and, you know, why try to, you know, why try to be something you're not? And all this stuff concocted by polluted intelligence. Krishna's intelligence is perfectly clear. He says, these are bad guys, curb them down, conquer them. Okay, this is the break. 5 minutes. So, you have to deal with this and curb down this enemy. You're supposed to be fighting with the enemy. Here's the enemy that you have to deal with. These material desires in the form of lust. So the senses have to be regulated. And the real thing is superior intelligence, superior consciousness, or Krishna consciousness. Just to kill lust, to try to stop desire is not possible, but to come to higher understanding, param drishtva nivarjate, by Krishna consciousness, one should be able to conquer lust. It's not just sex desire, but Prabhupada says, in the material existence of life, one is certainly influenced by propensities for lust and desire for dominating the resources of material nature. So women are a resource of material nature. One wants to... Is it okay? Okay. One wants to control women, or one wants land, property, people. So the whole project of dominating the resources, oil, dominating the resources of the planet, that's also lust. Desire for overlording. and for sense gratification is the greatest enemy, but one can control the material senses, the mind, and the intelligence by the strength of Krishna consciousness. Yes?
So, is it, it can be like Karma Yoga said that it is like do your work without attachment and the fruit of your work offered to Krishna?
But here, yes, the fruit work without attachment, but Krishna is always pointing us toward devotional service. Mayi, what is that? Sarvani Karmani, Sanyasyad Yatra Chetasa, Nirashir Nirmamo Bhutva, Yudyashva. So, dedicating everything to me. Yes, Nishkam Karma Yoga is the beginning of that, just to work without attachment, to offer the result to Krishna. But the real thing is to develop one's dedication to Krishna. And here, we're ending the chapter, Buddhe, Param Buddhva, by superior intelligence, Samstabhyatmanam Atmana, your knowledge has been covered by illusion, by enemy in the form of lust, so now we need transcendental knowledge. And so we come to chapter 4. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Imam Vivastate Yogam, Koktavanaham Abhyayam, Vivashan Manave Praha, Manurikshakabe Ravid. This is very, very well known verse. I'm going to be moving a little fast here again, not because it's unimportant, but because we cover this territory a lot. You're all familiar with this chain coming down from Vivashan to Manu to Ikshaku? That's pretty well covered territory. Okay. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshiyo vidu sakalene kaleneha mahata yoga nashta parantapa. So this is called the parampara system, or the disciplic succession, the succession from master to disciple. And it was in this line that the Rajarshis understood it. The kings are especially meant to be enlightened in spiritual knowledge so they can provide the right kind of leadership for human society. But sakale neha, mahata, due to a great passage of time, yoga nashta parantapa, this knowledge was lost. Clear? And Prabhupada links it here to the way people comment on Bhagavad Gita using their own interpretive, whimsical ideas. That's the way you lose it. Little bit lost, a little bit lost, a little bit lost. Pretty soon it's all lost. So therefore, parampara, one strictly has to follow the parampara system. It's preserving. To preserve this knowledge, to convey this knowledge, one has to follow the parampara. Otherwise, it will be lost over time.
Almost happened with Mahaprabhu, his teaching.
Yeah, by deviation, everything is lost. Sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puratana bhaktosi me sakacheti rahasyam yeta uttama. Very important verse. Krishna says, I'm again speaking to you this same old system of yoga. Puratana means old. Not that, well, that was the old system, it's lost, so now I'm going to come up with a new system. Same old thing I'm going to tell you. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam hyetad uttamam. This yoga system is a great transcendental secret. Rahasya means secret. Secret knowledge, confidential knowledge. But I'll tell it to you today. Why? Bhaktosi. Because you're my devotee. And sakha cha iti. And because you're my friend. That means that Bhagavad Gita can be understood It means it's meant for a devotee. I'm telling you this because you're my devotee. I'm not telling it to a rishi. There's so many sages available. There's so many sannyasis available. You're neither a sage nor a sannyasi. You're a householder and a kshatriya. But I'll tell it to you, bhaktosi, because you're my devotee. That means that Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotee. Yes.
Krishna.
They're for everybody, but what is the actual subject matter? Bhakti. That's why Krishna is telling the devotee. He's not telling a jnani. He's not telling a karmi. Not telling a tapasvi. It's for everybody, but devotional service is for everybody. But later at the end, anna bhaktaya kadachana. Don't speak this Bhagavad Gita to a person who's na bhaktaya, to a person who's not a devotee. So here at the beginning, I'm telling you because you're my devotee, and at the end, don't tell it to a person who's not a devotee. Na tapaskaya, na bhaktaya kadachana. It's for everybody, but everybody should become a devotee. Then they'll actually understand it. Without becoming a devotee of Krishna, one is not really going to understand Bhagavad Gita. And we see that. There are so many scholars, they don't understand it. There are so many yogis, they don't understand it. Pseudo-spiritualists, they don't understand it. Mayavadis, everything is one, they don't understand it. They go around and around and they don't get to the point. Therefore even Shankaracharya told them, Bhajagovindam, 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 Mudhamite.
Still
they don't get it. But this is it. So very important.
Krishna is establishing the succession with the Arjuna.
He doesn't say succession, but he says, I'm telling you the science again. And because he's telling it to Arjun, we get to hear it. I asked Prabhupada personally why Krishna says that the science was lost, because Vyasadeva was still there. Vyasadeva was still there. Prabhupada said it was not generally known. Basically, it was lost. Means, you know, somebody knew it, but it was not generally available. So now, by speaking to Arjun, Krishna is again re-establishing the science, and Vyasadeva will write Bhagavad Gita, and it will come to us in the parampara.
Is Bhagavad Gita lost after every Kali Yuga? Is the Bhagavad Gita lost after every Kali Yuga?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
What's the question?
Everything, whether Bhagavad Gita is lost at the end of every Kali Yuga. Everything's lost at the end of every Kali Yuga.
Everything good.
At the end of Kali Yuga, people are like monkeys.
Is before Kali Yuga? Because this happens before Kali Yuga.
Yeah, I mean, from time to time it gets lost. Therefore Krishna says, Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. Even in other ages people can get off track. So Krishna comes again and again. Okay? Moving ahead. Now Arjuna has a question. Aparam bhavato janma param janma vivasvataha katam etad vijaniyam tomado proktavanati. The sun god is senior by birth to you, so how is it that you are speaking to him? Just like if I said that, you know, I gave a Bhagavad Gita class to George Washington. Yeah. Somebody will say, but George Washington was, you know, 200 years ago, 300 years ago. How could you have given a Bhagavad Gita class to George Washington? So Arjuna's asking a similar question. How could you have spoken to the sun god? That was like thousands of years ago. He's superior to you. How did you instruct him? superior by Janma. He was born so long before you. How did you instruct him? Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bahuni me vyatitani janmani tavacharjana, tanyaham veda sarvani, natvam veta parantapa. Many births have passed both for you and for me. But I remember them all, and you've forgotten. So now in this section of the fourth chapter, we're going to learn, really for the first time, about the transcendental nature of Krishna. It's really going to be put before us who Krishna is. It's going to be put before us the transcendental nature of Krishna. We can't remember, you know, what we did yesterday. We can't remember where we put the keys to our car. We can't remember so many things. And Krishna's saying, I remember all my previous births. How is it? This is probably familiar to everyone here. Why could he remember?
He doesn't change his body.
He doesn't change his body. With change of body comes forgetfulness. We don't remember our previous life because we changed our body. And then everything's lost. But Krishna always remembers everything. Because his appearance, that will come in the next verse, next few verses actually. Ajopi, son, avyaya atma, bhutanam ishwaropi son, prakritim svam adhishthaya, sambhavami, atma mayaya. I am Aja, unborn, and avyaya atma, imperishable, my body is imperishable. Bhutanam Ishvara, and I'm the Lord of all living beings. Prakritim Swam Adhishthaya, Sambhavami, but I appear, Atma Mayaya, by my own energy. By my own energy. Where we appear because of the external energy. We can't say, I decided it would be a good idea to appear in. You know, I thought it would be good to be an American because, you know, Americans have a lot of money and they're kind of on top of the world right now. So I thought it would be a good idea to take my next birth as an American. Yeah, you know, there's no question. Hey, you, take birth there. Into this womb, rascal. Into that womb. Tree. Insect. Fish. Demigod, human being. We're forced. We don't, you know, just select. Say, well, I think I'd like to. Yeah, you take what you get, buddy. We're forced. We don't come of our own free, you know, like a prisoner. I thought that, you know, actually this prison here would be, you know, it's got a good view and the weather's nice and the people are good. You know, it's decided for you. And it has something to do with your own activities. There's maximum security prisons, minimum security prisons. There's what they call club fed, where the corporate criminals are sent. But there's different prisons. It's not finally up to the prisoner, it's up to the prison authorities. But Krishna says, for me, I appear by my own power, Atma Maya. Another meaning of Maya is mercy. By my mercy I appear.
This previous verse, Arjuna says, many births you and I passed. I remember them all. You know, Arjuna is a constant companion. In the same body, he was moving up and down. He went to get the Astra before the battle. How come he's forgetting?
That was within one lifetime. But he's a small, Prabhupada points out, he's the Anuatma, small soul, and Krishna is the Paramatma. But Krishna is completely in control. But Arjuna, of course it's by Krishna's arrangement also, that he's representing the living entity who changes his body and forgets everything. Yep, actually it's by Yogamaya. In the case of a devotee like Arjun, it's Yogamaya, so that he forgets. Otherwise, he's representing the living entity who forgets when he changes his body. Well, we are just about there. That is to say, we're at 1 o'clock. It's time to stop, right? Okay, so we'll start off tomorrow with some banner verses. No one can be a Hindu unless he knows the next verse. And if you know any more verses, it's hard to be a Hindu again. You become Krishna conscious.
It's more Bharati than Hindu. Is there a denomination Bharati?
Bharati?
For someone that is living in Bharat, the land of Bharat?
Bharati? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm being facetious. You know, there are many Hindus who know a lot more, but without coming in the discipline of succession and really